Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Chris, Sharpie, Lauren, and Steve. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, hey.
How are you doing?
Peachy.
Just ducky.
I know. Lauren's going to go to Disney World.
If Lauren doesn't jump out of the plane tomorrow.
Well, after spending all that time packing, you're not going to want to jump out of the plane.
Oh, my God. You know my suitcase is going to be over 50 pounds, too.
You gotta watch out. Then you can't bring any souvenirs back, so you gotta make sure you leave a couple pounds lighter, or leave
a child.
You could swap.
They're gonna fight over who has to be sacrificed.
Yeah, that's actually a valid point.
Yes.
Wait, I'll be sacrificed. That's
I was gonna say,
idea.
just stay down there.
Make sure you pack some mouse chat pins.
I need to get some more.
That's
going to take up some precious
pounds. Well, no, see, but that's the whole thing. You fill your bag with mouse chat pins, and then you give them all away, and you have all that room for souvenirs on the way back.
There's a method to the madness.
That's brilliant,
or
Steve.
Gifts from fans.
Hey, Lauren?
Chris usually gets a bunch of gifts.
I do. Lauren, the best thing that I've got for, you know, when you're on an airplane and not sure if you're at that 49 or 50-pound point or 51, get one of those little handheld.
I have one.
You do?
I do.
It is the
best. Somebody bought it for me. I think they thought I needed it.
Yeah. It's the handheld scale, and
it is the best thing.
It wraps around the handle, and then you lift the luggage up, and then it has a little, like the old meat scale, or the old scales at the grocery store when you used to.
Do you weigh a lot of meat?
Yeah, and you'd put like the bananas on there and see about what it was at. It's the same thing, but for luggage.
Yeah,
and well, it is actually good too, because then you don't like you're not the person standing there in the middle of the airport
unloading your underwear.
Yeah, you're like, what do I throw away?
Been there, done that.
Oh yeah,
that's why I like to drive.
I had to do that at Contemporary once in the outside area by the baggage check-in.
Yep,
and I was mortified. I was mortified because it's a deluxe resort. You know, I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, and you're like moving stuff from bag to bag. Yeah, yep. So get one of those.
Well, I just came back from Cincinnati and I had to go through security and I was randomly chosen I don't think it was random.
They were out for you.
Why? Did you look shady?
No, I didn't look shady, but I was carrying shady stuff.
What? She had pixie dust on her.
No, I had two boxes of business cards and so it was like a brick, two bricks.
Are you kidding? So like,
so it was real solid.
Were like, oh my gosh, what could she be hiding in those business cards?
They went
more
through.
More business cards.
No, they sifted through to see if there was anything in between them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they opened up, they broke the seal, they opened them up, and they went through all the business cards.
Then did you say you might as well take one and book a vacation with me?
I should have. Seriously.
Wow.
No,
amazing.
But what I was going to say is what's embarrassing to me is this was my return flight, so all the clothes in there was dirty. And I had one bag just to carry on that had everything in it, so he's rummaging through all my dirty clothes to get to this brick of business cards. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, and had it been on the way there,
buy my smelly socks.
Yeah. And, you know, I would have had nice, clean, folded clothes on the way there, but he decided to check it on the way back.
So here's a Disney travel tip. Next time you are on Disney Cruise Line, you can purchase their laundry bags for $15. And it's the perfect size to put dirty unmentionables in a carry-on bag.
Well, what do you mean? What's unmentionable?
What's unmentionable?
Your underwear, is that unmentionable?
Well, you know, you just don't want to have your dirty underwear flying through airport security.
I just wanted to hear you say underwear.
Yeah, I did too.
I think we all did. You're so proper.
Oh my goodness, these are unmentionable.
We love you, Sharpie.
All right, so what's on the agenda?
Can I make an announcement?
Sure.
No.
So, have you ever heard of Bizarro Superman?
Never.
Bizarro Superman is Superman's mirror image, but Bizarro Superman does everything the opposite of Superman. So tonight, mm-hmm. I'm going to be Bizarro Chris. And I'll tell you why, because someone wrote a review of us and said that I was mean to Steve. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be mean to or nice to Steve all night tonight.
And mean to the rest of us?
No, I'm always nice to you. But no, I'm going to be Bizarro Chris.
Listen, I'll cry, Chris. You do not want to be mean to me tonight.
No,
my
I can't
stress
be mean.
Level is out the door.
No, I'm just in the case of Steve, because no one said I was mean to any of y'all. It was just, she's so mean to Steve.
Well, now I'm picturing the opposite of Superman. And so if he's got that super blowing wind power and he can
So
blow up a storm. Does that mean he can like suck up all the leaves on my lawn?
So instead of flying, he walks everywhere?
No, he's just his mirror image. It's more his personality that's different. I'm not really a comic book expert. I just know about Bizarro Superman. And
Got that frozen breath. So that means he would have like dragon fire.
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm going to be nice to Steve tonight. Steve, may I say that your sweater is especially dashing tonight? And as your hair is especially poofy.
There. It's pretty nice.
If I were you, I'd be very suspicious, Steve.
Yes. It's just Bizarro, Chris.
But the thing is, anything you say now, we know you mean the complete opposite.
Oh, I shouldn't have told you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Because I think that's Bizarro Superman. Actually, no one knows at first, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Steve keeps putting in our little itinerary in my face, which means he wants us to get going because he hates our little tangents.
I know. He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's so awesome.
He has no fun.
You're so awesome,
and
Steve.
He's still holding it at me. So,
why is he holding it in that manner, too?
Yeah, actually, he is holding it with one finger on top of the pad, and all the others are below it. I'll let you guess.
All right, so the first topic is we're going to talk about New Year's Eve
at
Disney.
He can't stand it.
No. I'm watching our iTunes ratings go down the tubes as you continue to gab about Bizarro Superman.
You didn't know about Bizarro
Superman? It pertains directly to the listeners.
It does. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be nice. This is what I do.
Steve, they lost me. I got nothing.
All right, Lisa.
All right, so we're going to be talking about a couple of different topics tonight, and we're going to start with the New Year's Eve celebrations going on at the Walt Disney World Resort. Okay, over at Epcot, they're going to be doing a double illumination celebration, which is in the World Showcase. This is Illumination's Reflection of Earth, and they're going to have the show at 6 p.m., and also their second show is going to be a lot later. That'll be at 11:40 p.m. The second show is going to be followed by the countdown for the new year, and it'll have their typical show, but also the pyrotechnic salute to the new year. So that'll be fun, loud, and exciting. Over in the UK, I wish I was there. They're going to have a British Blast of the Past, and I'm really hoping that's just a musical dedication to the 50s and 60s, maybe even 70s British bands and singers.
Do you know what? Every time I pass there lately, they have that Pink Floyd tribute band out.
You know, I can live without Pink Floyd. I'll take everyone else.
Okay. Mm. I haven't heard anything else but them. It's weird.
Let's see. We'll have over in the American Garden stage, they'll have a DJ with some singing and dancing, music playing. Let's see. They're going to have Europop and lasers in Italy. And then over back in the Future World section of it, where they've got that big fountain, the Future World fountain stage, they're going to have a light show over there, and they're going to have another DJ. So they'll have a whole party scene going on over there. So look for the different scenes. China. They're going to have a smoke billowing dragon walking around. That's going to be awesome. So anyway, that's what's going on in Epcot. What about over at, let's see, Lauren, do you want to do Hollywood Studios?
Sure.
Okay.
So over at Hollywood Studios, they're going to have specialty drinks and food items throughout the night.
Well, it's perfect for you.
Yes, which is why I'm the one talking about this. As the event stage comes alive with an energetic DJ, they're going to have a performance by Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. I don't know who that is. Do we?
You've never seen Mulch, Sweat, and Shears? Oh, they're awesome. We've seen them at Hollywood Studios.
Sounds like they do your yard and then they sing. Is that right?
Yeah, their shtick is that they were the landscapers and they auditioned for performance roles and they're a band. So
oh, sweet.
Yeah, they're really cool.
I think I've seen the ones playing the trash cans over there by the Imagination Pavilion from time to time.
No,
I don't think so.
Group of janitors. I can't remember their name.
Getting the janitors mixed up with the landscapers.
Of course. What?
It's very hard to tell the difference between the two types of music. Okay, anyways,
kind
yes.
Okay, Lauren.
And then as midnight approaches, the band is going to take the stage to count down to 2015. And they're going to play live during the jaw-dropping fireworks spectacular.
All right. And, of course, everyone wants to know what's going on in the Magic Kingdom Park. What they're going to do is, because the Magic Kingdom is such a popular destination for New Year's Eve, they're going to kind of double it up over two nights. So they're going to have similar festivities on the 30th, which is probably the best day of the year. Why is that? Oh, come on.
Oh, my gosh. It's Lisa's birthday.
No.
And Steve's looking around like, I don't know.
He's like, I usually go to Australia that day.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm recovering from Christmas, preparing for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will spend on a plane.
Yeah, so they're going to have stuff going on for your birthday.
They will have, they say it's in celebration of New Year's, but we all know the truth.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good deal you've got going there.
Actually,
it's always good when your birthday's a national holiday.
Do you know what's worse when your birthday's Pearl Harbor Day and everyone's always like, ha ha, Pearl Harbor Day, and you're like, thank you. I haven't heard that about 550 times.
Well, it depends on what you consider Pearl Harbor Day. Pearl Harbor Day.
Wait, we must all be special. We all have birthdays that fall on holidays.
Steve's doesn't. His is October 8th.
He's not special.
Oh, he's special.
All the girls are special.
Yes. Okay, but I digress. Back to the Magic Kingdom. So they're going to have, over on December 30th in the Magic Kingdom, they're going to have the Fantasy in the Sky fireworks. They'll have those at 11:50 p.m. on the 30th. And then they're going to repeat it on December 31st, same time, and it'll be the countdown and such. It's going to be awesome. It's one of the best displays of fireworks. See, I always say that I like Hallowishes, and I do. Favorite fireworks. I love the theming and the music and the coordination of the colors and the fireworks that go off. But there is something to be said about the 4th of July and the New Year's Eve fireworks, where you get that whole surround firework effect where they've got it coming off from all directions. So it's pretty spectacular. Please don't go expecting to get a spot 20 minutes before the show. People are going to be camping out probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say a couple hours at least.
Yeah.
It will be very crowded. People are going to be pushy and grumpy. Just go with the attitude that you've got to get through the night and rise above and just go with the anticipation that it's going to be I don't want to say a miserable night, but as far as the crowds, it's going to be heavy.
Well,
who does not like crowds, really not the place to be.
No, and there are so many places around Disney property that you can see the fireworks and enjoy them. You may or may not hear the music, but you'll see them, and they're going to be spectacular. So,
DVC member, you could go Top of the World.
That's going to be packed.
It's going to be packed, but, make an evening of it. It depends on what you're going to do. If you're a park goer and you need to be in the park in front of the castle, camp out hours ahead of time and just get comfy.
We always say go to Epcot. Epcot handles crowds really well because it's so walking areas are so wide. You have to be in a park. I'd go to Epcot. I wouldn't go to Hollywood Studios because Studios is always, that park doesn't even have to be crowded and it has
too
traffic
small.
Jams. Yep. Yeah. It's not even too small. It's laid out very
poorly. Yeah, it's the layout.
Yeah. Magic Kingdom at least makes a tiny bit of sense. But if you've ever been caught in the hub, like we were on the 30th the 40th anniversary of
40th.
Magic Kingdom. Oh my gosh, it was terrible. People were like in the planting area. They were like in the Rose Garden.
In the planters.
Just standing there.
Okay, so Animal Kingdom Park. Sorry, folks, it'll be closed. Not all day, but, in the evening. All right, let's move on. Sharpie, help me out. What's going on I just talked about it. Animal Kingdom Park.
I had posted this to the Mouse Chat Facebook page whenever it was first announced, but we didn't talk about it on the show. The new area, which is going to be called Africa Marketplace, very short timeline for opening. It's scheduled to open in this coming spring, so spring of 2015. There's going to be new merchandise locations, a new quick service restaurant, and most importantly, a new walkway linking Africa to Asia. So that very narrow walkway that currently links Africa to Asia that always gets so congested, will there now be an alternate way to get to Asia from Africa? So what you're seeing with that is an entirely new area that they can then develop later. But that's thinking ahead. It's actually going to be located between Kilimanjaro Safari and the Mombasa Marketplace. And it's actually an area, if you were to go there today, that area is actually backstage. So they're actually bumping the borderline of the park out a little bit, making it a little bit bigger. I think you're going to start seeing this a lot more at Animal Kingdom. I really think they're gearing this park up for a lot of big enhancements, yep. Especially with the new nighttime show coming, with Avatar Land. Yeah, I am really excited. I think one of the coolest things is going to be like the new merchandise area is going to be a lot of African art. They have some of that currently, but I believe they're also going to have artisans. They're doing carvings as well. They have a little bit of that now, like I said, but I think they're going to expand that and make it a lot bigger. So, and the quick service restaurant will be Harambe Marketplace, and it's going to be a number of walk-up windows. And then they're going to have like all different sorts of African foods. But of course, as Disney always does, they'll have some kind of regular things too, especially to be kid friendly. So I'm really excited about the easing of congestion, but also the new shopping and dining locations. Awesome stuff happening at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because they're going to do that nighttime show and everyone's going to be crowded around.
Exactly.
That's the only walking path around that whole park, around the river or lake there.
At least they're getting ahead of it. That's a good thing.
So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
So if you want to travel during that time when everyone's camped out, you're going to be, they'll have an alternate. It's like doing the loop around Atlanta. It's like the 285 loop. They're building a separate one.
And it was always especially bad during the parade.
At Animal Kingdom.
I got excited. I thought there was a new road coming in.
No, they're talking an inner perimeter and an outer perimeter.
Wow. But that's what they're doing in Animal Kingdom to alleave the traffic congestion from
the popular
nighttime
show. And they're doing it at the Magic
Kingdom. Nighttime show. Well, they're redoing the hub at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Can I just say what a mess that is? Lauren, you're going to see tomorrow when you go into the Magic Kingdom, they still have all those walls up, by the way. And if you look through the little, because it's not hidden very well. If you look through it and you see all the construction at the hub, you're going to be like, this is never going to be done.
Oh, not good.
Yeah. So it kind of is not that attractive right now.
Speaking of a peek behind the scenes, there have been some images leaked about the Polynesian lobby. They're really doing a lot of work on the atrium area.
Oh, really?
But anyway,
how does it look?
I think it looks really great. I always loved the fountains, but from a space utilization perspective, I always thought it was really a waste of space.
Yeah.
But I think people are going to be really impressed with that lobby. I think it's going to give it the update that it has needed for quite some time.
Can you tell how big that trader is? It Trader Joe's? Can you tell how big that's going to be?
There haven't been any pictures of that released yet. So okay. Nothing that I've seen.
Sam's.
I don't think it's going to be as big as everyone's thinking it's going to be. Because there used to be the space where that art gallery was. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really didn't have much space to expand there. So it's going to be kind of small.
Oh, it's just where that art gallery? Oh, that does make sense. You're right.
And I think they may have bumped out to do some outdoor seating area as well, but I'm not sure.
They
kind
of need it. The one out in Land is not that big either, so it's not surprising.
Yeah, it's teeny.
It's cute.
And then they have all the outdoor seating.
Yeah.
But you got to be inside.
Yes.
Where the magic happens.
Yeah, that's where the cool stuff happens. It's a lot of fun. It's a Disney nerd hangout in Disneyland. I'm sure it'll be the same in World.
Oh, I'm sure. It'll be worse than World, probably.
Yeah, it will.
Well, maybe not, because we don't
have... Land has a lot of nerds, too.
Yeah, they have more local nerds,
Lou Mangiello, Ricky Regani.
And Steve.
Steve Griswold from...
The Holy Trinity of Disney nerds.
Yeah, we'll be there. Jim Hill.
Yeah.
So just come on over.
Yeah.
You forgot Len.
Len Testa.
Yes.
Big Fat Panda.
Mm-hmm. And he wants people to call him that. Steve isn't just being cruel. Not in this case. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be there.
So, Chris Wood, you just got back from Disney.
I did.
You went for Thanksgiving with the family.
Yes. But then I went down yesterday.
Oh, that's so true, too.
Oh, can I talk about two things? I would love to talk about my client's wedding, just like for a second.
Okay.
So I have a client. She's a sweet girl. And the whole time she's been my client, I've joked with her that I was going to crash her wedding. And so a few weeks ago, she said, hey, I have spots. And she was doing an escape wedding, which if you know anything about Disney weddings, it's 25 guests or less, but you're paying for all those guests. So why not have someone crash your wedding? So I said, hey, I'm just going to come down for the day. And as it turned out, Bob from the show, who used to be on the show, he was down there with Stacy and their new baby and Frankie, and who's four and adorable. And so I was meeting up with them in the afternoon, but in the morning I went to the wedding. The wedding was fantastic. I just have to say that I thought it was the best use of a young couple's money. It was so cute. They had it out on Seabreeze Point, which is right by Boardwalk. There was a cake, a violinist. It was an adorable wedding. And I thought for the money, they really were going to get some gorgeous pictures out of it. And the cake was excellent. It was a vegan cake from Baby Cakes. But anyway, so...
How much is an escape wedding if someone wants to do an escape wedding?
I want to say around $3,000 for probably the package they had, which was, you know, a violinist, cake, some champagne, 25 guests.
In the space.
Officiant in the space. They had a dance, you know, and pictures. And it was cute. You know, to me, I thought it was such a nice, I thought it was a very practical use of the money that they had. And they get two annual passes out of it.
Ooh.
So,
I didn't
know
that.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
It's almost $700 a piece, right?
Yeah, close with taxes.
That's a deal.
It's like
$1,400. Because like the violinist was good. Like she went through like all the Disney songs. She played any, like there were kids there. And, you know, of course they asked for Let It Go. And so that was adorable. And she just was going around. And I actually put some video. I think it's on my page. I'll put it on the Mouse Chat page later. But I put some video of the violinist. The cake was really good. It's a two-layer cake. It serves about probably 40 people. You know, it's a very simple ceremony, but you have all your closest family there. It was cute. It was very cute.
You know what? You just put the icing on the cake there. No pun intended.
Yeah.
With the annual passes, I had no idea.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good deal, too. And I think that's just with the escape weddings. It's not with the level that's up, which is the dream wedding, which is, I think the minimum that on that is maybe 10,000 or 15. I can't remember. So it's a considerable jump, but you have a lot more options with that wedding. Hmm. This is for people who maybe are going to have a big reception when they get back home, or maybe they want a smaller wedding. But
this is more about the wedding and the ceremony versus the reception.
Yeah, and they were adorable. You know, she had two bridesmaids. He had a groomsman and his dad. And they were just lovely people. And it was kind of exciting because I had been working with her for a year and then I became friends with her on Facebook. She's just a sweet girl. So it was kind of nice to see her. And her dress was adorable. They were cute. So that was fun. However, after that, I went over to Epcot and I ran into Bob and I got to hold the baby. The baby is adorable.
Did you drop the baby?
No, I didn't drop the baby, but the baby did. So at one point I was filming Bob. And if you listen to the show, everyone knows Bob is kind of how would you describe Bob? Opinionated, a little cantankerous.
Strong-headed.
Bob even said, Lisa, that having a child has totally changed his opinion of the parks.
How so?
He just looks at the rides differently and how everything is kind of set up for kids and how that's wonderful because he's got kids now. So, but we had a blast. But one of the things we did is we went to Le Cellier and, I had only eaten there once before, like a couple of years ago on a Pixie trip. And I didn't like it then because I'm like a major meat eater. Like I love steak. And I'm kind of picky about it, though. And I think if you're paying $50 for steak, it should be good. So we all ordered a steak each. And, you know, it tasted okay, except like a third of mine was nothing but gristle and fat. It was disgusting.
Ugh.
Bob's was fine. Bob and Stacy both got the filet with the risotto, which is, I think, one of the main things people order when they go there. It's one of their more popular dishes.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, but And I should have gotten that, but I got but I get so bored with these fillets because that's what they serve at every Disney restaurant, right? And so I went ahead and got the ribeye as a change, and it was just not good. I'm not going back there.
You say as a change, but the last three steaks I've seen you eat have been ribeye.
Yummy.
Lauren, so what did you have?
If you really want a good steak, you have to try the Kansas City dry rubbed. The coffee crust dry rub Kansas steak. It's really,
where
really
is that?
Good.
Is that a Chico?
Where's that?
That's a Le Cellier.
They, you know what? That wasn't on the menu. I would have gotten that.
What?
No, it wasn't on the menu. And
that's,
you know,
my favorite steak there.
You were there for dinner or lunch?
It was there. It was for lunch, but the menus are the same now.
Okay.
So, and the other thing is we all got the cheddar cheese soup and it was cold.
Oh,
and I was like,
I love the cheddar cheese soup.
Yeah, it was cold. I almost sent it back. The only good thing I will say is, and Steve and I have discussed how a lot of times you go to Le Cellier and it's the one signature that doesn't have like these really seasoned, and that pun was for you, Chris Sharps, but that doesn't have these really seasoned waiters. Instead, they have college students because they're on the college program. I will say our servers were excellent yesterday.
That's good.
The food just wasn't
so great.
Yeah,
we've always had very good service there. One time we waited. Uh-huh. We had a really late reservation. It was at like 8:15, and we were not seated until 5 minutes into Illuminations.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Almost an hour.
And yeah, it was late. We didn't finish dinner. We didn't get back to our room until 15 till 12.
Oh, wow.
It was ridiculous.
I want people to have really good food at Disney because I think that's part of the experience. And I just want to say that there are two really good steaks you can get, really three, that I can think of on property off the top of my head. One is, of course, Yachtsman. That's
Yachtsman
really
Steakhouse
good.
Is really good over at Yacht and Beach Club.
Grand Floridian Cafe has a ribeye that really is seriously good. Huh. I mean, for half the price. And then the other one is Artist Point. I think Artist Point has a good steak. So...
Artist Point's got some buffalo and some other really unique options.
I think Citra Coast, too, has a good steak.
I haven't had it there, I don't think.
You need to go again.
I know.
We'll have a whole show on steak.
Well,
everything I've had at Artist Point was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's kind of a sleeper, whereas Le Cellier is definitely not, because even at 3:30 in the afternoon, which is when our reservation was, it was packed.
So. Yeah, I've always had hit or miss at Le Cellier, and there's so many other places where it's consistently good. I've either had the college kids kind of have unprofessional service versus you're paying a lot of money.
Right.
Versus some of the other places you could go
especially
to.
Especially since it's signature for both lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
My steak was $50. Oh, and it came with potatoes and they weren't cooked all the way through, which is a tragedy. So.
Yeah. It's, because we had such a good experience at Yachtsman, it's hard to, pay that kind of money or more and not have the same experience just a couple restaurants away.
I'm definitely going to steer all of my clients away from Le Cellier from now on. I've got a vendetta. Two times? Sorry. You're not getting a third.
Well, I'm going to have to give them a try. I've been there once. We went. The one time. And it was fine. It wasn't spectacular.
It wasn't spectacular.
Well, I didn't like that they crammed us at
a little teeny table. And it was one dining credit at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, this is okay. And then they doubled it to two dining credits.
Like, no.
And I was like, it was only okay at one.
Yeah. Well, they can get away with it because there's so much hype.
There's a lot of hype. That's why we went. And I had been a long time ago and remembered it to be this great experience. But then I've tried so many of the other places and I think the places are better.
Even in Epcot, I would much rather go to Chef de France.
I had a better steak there than it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, the favorites, the best steak experience we have ever had was when my wife and I took my parents in 2008, and it was at Coral Reef.
Wow!
I'm telling you, our service was fantastic. Our meals were fantastic, and honestly, the steak was so soft you could cut it with a fork. It was absolutely delicious.
That sounds good. Hey, Lauren, we were talking about steak. What's your favorite steak restaurant or favorite steak at Epcot?
In Epcot,
it would have to be Le Cellier.
No.
Well, she had a good experience, I think.
I had a good experience there, and I like the risotto.
When are you eating there again?
Not this trip.
Okay. I'd like to hear what you think the next time you go.
You know what I think is fun is when we argue over food or we have a disagreement or a split. We're like, let's go there again. Yeah. We go eat.
Honestly, Lisa, bummer. I don't think I could ever eat there again. That steak was so disgusting.
And why didn't you say anything?
Well, because here's what happened. It was a really big steak. And I'll show you a picture of it when we're done. But it was big. And it was thick, too. Like, the last time I ate there, I got a ribeye as well. And it was very thin, which is a crime. Mm-hmm. And because you can't cook those evenly. So this one was thick, so I had a lot of hope. If I had started from the other side, I would have been like, yeah, you need to take this back. But I had started from, you know, the side that was the good side, so I didn't send it back. I thought, oh, I'm done. I'm enjoying this conversation with Bob. I'm feeding the baby who wouldn't smile for me. And so it was okay.
He trained him.
He's so cute. It's disgusting. He had like a little Mickey Mouse outfit on. I was
Every time I've seen the child, he has a Mickey Mouse or Disney.
I think that's all the clothes that he has.
Yeah. I don't think he has anything.
He even had mouse ears. But I did refrain from telling Bob, "Hey, hold the baby that way." I was like, "You know how it is, Lisa. You know, experienced parent. You're kind of like, hold the baby that way.
Stop holding him by his feet." Just kind of hanging
did good.
Him there.
And he had, you know, like, oh, this is the other thing that was an issue. There's no changing table in the men's bathroom there. So Bob, being a good parent, took the kid to change him because he was having a little issue. And he came back and he said, "I don't know what to do. There's no changing table. I'm going to change him on the floor." And Stacey was like, "I don't think so."
Yeah. No. So, no. Yeah. He needs a little help.
The bathrooms at Le Cellier are very, very small. That restaurant, it has been, I don't know what they were thinking when they built it, but it has one dining room and no floor space.
It is small. Do you know what it used to be? It used to be a cafeteria.
Yeah, I knew that, but I don't know what they were thinking when they expanded that area.
Perhaps it's time for a refurbishment over at Le Cellier.
Didn't they refurb it a few years ago?
Well, obviously they didn't do a good job.
They can't get any more space, though. That's the problem.
They only did soft stuff. Like, they refurbed the tabletops, the upholstery, and the carpet, and that was it.
No, that's not a good refurb.
They changed the light fixtures.
No. That's just modifications. They need to tear down some walls and build up some new ones.
I don't know that they could. Really, they just need to, I don't know. Like
maybe
I said, I won't be going back.
Build up. Give it a second story.
Yeah. They have the potential to make it a very, very high-end restaurant.
They really could. But you know what, though? I wonder, though, because if they're going to always have college students working there, that's one strike against them. Because if you eat at Disney Signatures, you know that they always have good service at those places. This place can't compete, even with my super friendly servers that we had. Mm. So they're just not as good.
Okay. Well, thank you for your little recap on your trip.
You're welcome.
All right. Steve, you want to talk about the last little tidbit?
Well, I actually heard this from Sharpie, and it's all I know is a little bit.
Well, then let's throw it to Sharpie.
Sharpie, someone's leaving Disney. We're very sad.
Meg Crofton has announced her retirement. She'll be retiring in June, of course, of 2015. She is currently the president for operations in both the U.S. and in France, which ironically, she has only been in that position for just a couple years. And she had previously been with, I think she was with Disney Vacation Club for just a little over, a year. But yeah, it's been interesting.
Interesting to see her retire. It's retirement.
So
she's been with Disney since she was a young woman. I mean, she started in like housekeeping, literally. Hmm. So
yeah, she's been. I think she has 35 years with Disney.
Wow.
She's been there since 1977. She started in marketing, I believe.
Heard it was she started out in housekeeping.
Mousekeeping.
I'm sorry. Yeah. you know what? I heard they don't like it called mousekeeping.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard. But I had always heard that, you know, maybe her professional career, but initially she started out somehow, whether it was management or whatever, she started out at the very bottom in housekeeping kind of stuff.
Yeah, so
that's a good way to do it.
She moved over to Disney Vacation Club. I remember now because we were on the member cruise when this was announced. She moved over to Disney Vacation Club after Jim Lewis was booted over the Alani kerfluffle.
Oh, yeah.
Did she say kerfluffle?
For anyone who isn't familiar with the situation, they built Alani and started selling contracts for Alani, and they had grossly miscalculated the annual dues for maintenance fees for Disney Vacation Club members who own points there. Another interesting link to this is we were actually in California the day we were at Disneyland the day that they stopped selling contracts until they got all of that stuff settled out, because we were talking to one of the Disney Vacation Club guides there at Disneyland at the Downtown Disney location. And so it was like, so what are points going for? He was like, actually, we don't know right now, because we just received a memo this morning that we weren't allowed to sell. So if you ever look at Alani resales, you will see that some contracts are grandfathered in with the lower maintenance fees. And believe you me, if you see one of those on the market and you are interested in Alani, pick it up. It is a huge, huge discount off of the maintenance fees. But that would be nice too,
because even if you never go to Alani, you could just use your points at Walt Disney World at the 7-month mark and
absolutely.
Have those ridiculously low maintenance fees.
Yeah,
now,
I believe
the maintenance fees go up every
positive,
year,
but it's a couple dollars cheaper.
You know what? There's some sort of requirement that they can't go up significantly. There's some complicated math problem.
So they're going to be behind everybody else,
right?
They're going to raise them at the standard rate, but yeah.
What are you, Old Key West and Beach Club? Do you know what you're paying?
I don't even know. It used to be five something.
I think I'm paying about $5.25.
Yeah.
Well,
for maintenance.
It's about that.
It's not bad.
No. You know what? You said that like you have, what is it? Stockholm Syndrome. It's not bad. I'll do whatever you say, Disney.
$10 a point. It's worth it.
It's totally worth it.
We like our DVC.
I love my DVC.
Yes.
Yeah, the funny thing is about points is people all the time see they see points for Hilton Head and for Vero Beach honestly, Vero Beach is down to like $48 a point.
God, are you kidding?
On the resale market. But the problem is like their maintenance fees are up. I think they're over $8 now.
What's the right of first refusal? I mean, they'll let $48 go pass. Disney will let that pass.
We purchased our Hilton Head points for $41.83.
Wow.
And I have never seen one cheaper than that go through RFR.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's crazy. It was...
Well, prices have gone back up on DVC for the points and the... But you, like you said, Chris, you get those cheap for the points, but then you're paying like double the price every year in maintenance and
dues.
So.
Do you know what I've been thinking lately? I wish I could sell my contract, which I probably could.
And get a condo.
Because I think in the long run, that would have been a smarter idea.
The only thing is, I like staying on property.
Me too. That's the problem. The other problem is the upkeep of a condo. You know.
You got to have someone there.
Yeah.
Or you have to hire a property management firm and rent it out or something
like that. Well, I was thinking of a houseboy. So, you know.
Good. Well, as much as you go and Lauren and Sharpie, everyone could just rotate in and out of it.
I don't know that I want you people rotating in and out of my condo.
Why not? We
would leave saran wrap on the toilets and Vaseline the bathroom doorknobs.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome, actually. Thank you. That would make them extra shiny. I like my doorknob shiny. Anyway.
We'd have to leave a puppy training mat outside the door for accidents.
Okay, so
great. I would like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you like our shows, you can listen to those over at iTunes and also at mousechat.net, where you can also download these shows for future listening. If you have any questions for us, please send them to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time on Mousechat.